Hey, it's Nick Inglis, president of the Information Coalition, and I'm here today with Chris Walker, the director of business development and alliances with eWave Solutions, and we're going to be talking about content integration services and how you connect your various systems together. Without further ado, Chris Walker.
Thanks, Nick. Nice to be here. I actually can't believe that this is the first time that we're actually doing something together. After knowing each other for, I think, close to 10 years, it's going to be 6 years, 10 years, something like that. After having, collaborated on a couple of things on Twitter. I think we did another thing panel a while ago. After sharing pints and stuff, that this is the first time that I've done anything with Information Coalition. It's about time.
Long overdue, Chris. Long overdue. We're glad to have you here with us today. Let's kick off our conversation today with a simple question. What exactly is Content Integration Services, or CIS? What exactly is this, and what does it mean?
So this will be nothing new to, I think, most people that are listening and tuned in today. Content Integration Services, very simply put, is at a content and metadata level, integrating. In the case of eWave, we integrate SAP with content management platforms, right? So there's a bunch of platforms that we work with, and it could be SAP or an ERP to any information management platform or content management platform. Could be through an HRMS, so a human resource management platform. It could be to GIS. So it's really connecting information between the applications, getting the information and content where it needs to be. And not just a matter of, chucking it into a watched folder repository type of thing, right? But truly integrating it at a business process level.
But this is something that's different than migration and synchronization, right?
Yeah, migration and synchronization is fine. They have their uses. Migration is kind of a one and done type of thing because we're switching platforms, right? Or we're moving stuff, out of our ERP and into the ECM or whatever it happens to be. But you kind of do it once and that's the end of it. Synchronization really is if you look at some of the file synchronization services, Box, Dropbox, Google Drive, OneDrive, all these things, it's about making content available to people in a different way or for collaboration. Content integration services goes beyond that. It's not just synchronizing because I want to synchronize content and have it available on a mobile device as well as on my desktop, as well as network shares or whatever. But I want to be able to use content that I've ingested via SAP, let's say, and I want to be able to use that content in workflows that are supported by my ECM platform, right? Or I want to use content that's ingested and captured in my ECM platform, but it's relevant to business processes and transactions that I'm executing in SAP. So I want to have it available without necessarily moving it across all the time. Still want to keep it in place, but I just want it available. I don't necessarily want to move it.
So now we know what content integration services are. Why exactly are content integration services important?
Yeah, so there's a few different things. But there's having a single source of truth, right? So if I have loan origination documents that I've ingested through my enterprise content management system, my ECM platform, they will at some point generate transactions or customer files in my SAP or in my ERP platform or in my line of business platforms. I don't necessarily want to have to copy those things across. I want to make sure that I have one copy, so single source of truth, one copy of everything that I have in one place, but available wherever I need it, and available to the systems that need it and are going to use it, and available to the people. So that's one of the benefits, or one of the reasons why it becomes important, is that single source of truth. There's also, from a process point of view, if I'm an accounts payable clerk working in an ERP package, and I have to look at you know, there's some sort of an exception to something, and I have to trace back and I have to look for a contract document or a purchase order document or some other supporting document for this transaction that I'm trying to close or to process, I don't necessarily want to have to log out of one system, look into another system, and you know, try to chase these things down. I want to be able to be in my accounts payable platform, say, oh, here's all the supporting documents. Just be able from a, you know, single click, single interface, be able to get to it. I don't care where it is, right? I don't care that it's actually sitting in an ECM platform. What I care is I'm working as an accounts payable clerk in my function, in the application that I'm supposed to be working in. Everything that I need to do my job should be available there. I shouldn't have to be running around for it. So that's that second key piece. The other piece, the third key piece, I think, goes back to the first a little bit, and it's being able to impose and to comply with governance and regulations, right? And that could be everything from privacy legislation type of thing to complying with discovery orders, right? Much easier to comply with a discovery order, costs less, a lot less money, a lot less time, if I know definitively that, you know, if I've legally disposed of something, yes, I've got stuff here. So even from whatever platform it happens to be, I can see, oh yeah, this thing has been disposed of. Or if it hasn't been disposed of, I know that there's only one thing. I'm not hunting around for everything. You know, a lot of times we hear about these stories, these e-discovery stories and nightmares and litigation nightmares that says, oh, well, we couldn't find anything in our email or we couldn't find anything responsive in whatever. But meanwhile, 75 people have it because you have sent it out 3 years ago, right? The document's been sent out and everybody and their dog has it. The only people that don't have it are the people that should have it, right? And you only find out about it when it's too late to do anything about it, right? So these types of things, by being able to contain it, by being able to integrate at a content and metadata level across your applications, you just reduce a lot of risk associated with that, with, you know, with kind of information management, information governance. But again, like you know, like I've spoken about for years, I'd much rather focus on the value of it. So the value of it is that it makes my organization better. I'm better at processing transactions. I'm better at executing my business processes. I become more efficient with it.
That's great. So you have this graphic representation that you've shown a couple times, and I'll describe it for folks since we're audio only here. An example being timesheets. And in this example, you have in an ECM suite, you have a contractor filling in a timesheet. They then submit that timesheet. This is a workflow graphic here. They submit that timesheet. An approver reviews and approves the timesheet. And then it's either a yes or no when they approve it. And if it's a no, it goes back to them filling in the timesheet or fixing it. And if it's a yes, then it goes into this content integration service and it submits it into the ERP. Or even if it's just the data only, the ERP then processes for payment. The ERP then generates the payment slip, and then Content Integration Services comes back into play again. It stores the payment slip in the ECM platform, and then the contractor views that payment slip. Chris, can you talk for a minute about this example?
Sure. So I, like many others who are, you know, in the information management, content management space, have spent a lot of time as a consultant and as a contractor. And I can go back to a few clients where there have been challenges at the end of every month or at the end of every billing period of collecting timesheets and filling them out and getting them signed. Because believe it or not, they still require physical signatures. And then it's like, oh, so-and-so has the timesheet. And okay, well, why isn't it with accounts payable now? Well, because we write all sorts of things and all sorts of issues and all sorts of problems with it. And they kind of makes me laugh sometimes, except when I'm the one who's not getting paid. Then it doesn't make me laugh, it makes me nuts. But if you could actually have a process for submitting, you know, filling out, approving, and submitting timesheets, process starts with, as many of the organizations I've worked with, it's an Excel spreadsheet. Right, it's one per month. Your name is on there. Your billing rate is on there. Your charge codes to whatever project fill out the spreadsheet, fire it off into some approval cycle. In many cases, it's a matter of actually printing it out and sending it to, walking it to various managers to actually physically sign the damn thing. But if you could actually route it, you know, through an ECM package workflow, route it to whoever's implicated in the workflow, whoever has to approve it, fire that thing through, then once all the approvals are obtained, if you have this little middleware piece, this content integration service says, hey, this timesheet is now in a status of approved. I can actually take it and just put the timesheet directly into my ERP's accounts payable flow. And because there's no issues, I don't even have to have anybody look at it. And then once it's in that flow, it gets approved, it gets processed, and a payment remittance, a payment advice is generated, which is then fired back into your content management platform and presented to the consultant, the contractor. I mean, it's one of these things that's not a huge problem in terms of it's a hard problem to solve. It's a huge problem as in a lot of organizations, they're dealing with dozens of contractors, right? And they're, you know, and it's constantly chasing stuff down.
This is Nick Inglis, president of the Information Coalition with the Information Strategy Podcast right now. We are talking with Chris Walker. He is the director of business development at eWave Solutions. We're going to continue this conversation now. Chris, you've got another example here that you've used in the past of work orders. And in this example, you usually show this graphically, but we're audio only. An ERP would issue a work order. The ERP would assign field personnel to work on that order. And then content integration services comes to the fore. And it takes that work in the ERP and it passes it over to the ECM platform, at least the order details. Then the ECM platform would gather the relevant documents, so whether it's standards, procedures, or manuals, and then the ECM platform delivers those relevant documents or documents to the field personnel. And then the field personnel execute on that work order. Can you talk to us a little bit about this example of work orders with content integration services?
This is one of my favorite examples because I worked on this at a very similar project to what's reflected in the workflow a couple of years ago, and I might be the one that turned my hair gray. Well, finished the process. So imagine, if you will, work orders being generated in SAP. So if you're doing asset maintenance or plant maintenance, that type of thing, right? So a work order to go out to an oil rig and fix a piece of machinery on that oil rig, right? So that's all done through your plant maintenance, your asset management components of your ERP package. But before I can send somebody out to the field to do something with that work order to fix the piece of equipment or replace the piece of equipment, depending on what industry you're in, if you're in utilities, you're in energy, whatever, there's a lot of safety manuals that you have to read, and there's a lot of engineering standards you have to comply with. But where are all those things located, right? So currently, it's, you know, the client that I worked with, it's in the white book, right? And the white book may or may not have been updated in the last 5 years or so, right? But if you're keeping these things up to date, By using metadata and the actual content, you can actually inform the content management repository that says, hey, I have to go out to this location and fix this piece of equipment. Show me what I have to comply with. So if I understand those things and I understand who has to do it, so I will know who the skill sets, what skill sets are required, all those types of things. So you might have a tie into your HRMS as well, your human resource management system. But what happens is you fire that information and the details back to your content management platform, and it says, oh, okay, because you're going in rural Alberta, we have to give you the environmental standards because you're going into protected wetlands or whatever, right? You're fixing piece of equipment ABC. So here are the engineering drawings for that. Here are the repair manuals for that. And then whatever else you have, right? So what you're doing is you're presenting to the people who are going to go out and fix that equipment, you're surfacing the content that they need. You can fire it to their phone, fire it to their tablets, laptop. If they have to, they have to print them out, right? So what they're doing is they're going equipped with the right knowledge to go and do that job safely, right? Yeah. Because if you think of oil field workers, if you think of power line workers and stuff like that, you know, these people who are going up and washing resistors from a helicopter with a 15-foot stick type of thing, there are some serious safety considerations. If they're not reading the up-to-date equipment, somebody is going to get badly hurt or worse, right? But by being able to link the two systems, you reduce a lot of that risk.
So it seems like a lot of content integration services are all about the day-to-day operations. I'm wondering if you could speak to sort of the big picture, long-term benefits of content integration services, especially as companies are looking to leverage more and more so things like big data and analysis on large pools of information. If you can pull that information out of the ERP and put it into the ECM, there's the long-term benefit as well as the day-to-day benefit. Can you speak to that for a second?
It does. I'm kind of glad that you mentioned sort of the future and the big, you know, the big new technologies and the bright shiny toys and everything else. But I think where the there's that. But I really think where the CIS, where content integration really is helpful, is you said it, being able to leverage that data today. Right, it's not a matter of, oh great, we're gonna store all this stuff until we need it. We're gonna use in certain sectors, you need it right away, right? And you just it's what's happening is it's a very inefficient manner of getting at that data and at that knowledge that you need, right? So this goes perhaps, you know, a little bit towards knowledge management as well. Are we still allowed to use that term, by the way?
I think we are allowed to say knowledge management once again.
It's kind of like here and then gone and here and then gone.
Yeah, I think knowledge management is back on an upswing. It goes out of favor and then it comes back strong each time. I think I've lived through at least three of these in this career. I think all the cool kids are bringing back knowledge management at this point.
Nick, I think if I were really concerned about being cool, I would have chosen a different career.
Yeah, it has its days.
But it's about leveraging that content and leveraging the data in real world terms today, right? Because, you know, again, I look at an economy like ours here in Alberta, you know, very resource based and oil based and everything else. If companies aren't working to be more efficient right away, they're going to be gone in a year or two, right? And we've already seen that what's happened with businesses closing and layoffs and everything else, right? So there's very much a by being, and again, the sort of a phrase that I coined, I think I coined it years ago, by being info efficient.
Oh, that's good.
Right? So being efficient. So by being info efficient, you're saving costs and you're performing better, right? And content integration is one of those pieces that helps to achieve that, really. It's not the only thing you need. But it's this little niche that if you're not integrating your content between systems and to people, man, you're never gonna be efficient in your business processes. You're never gonna be efficient with how you leverage and use information. It just ain't gonna happen.
So Chris, you're with eWave Solutions. You're the director of business development and alliances. You guys are up in Alberta, Canada.
Yep.
But you guys are doing services worldwide, right?
Yeah, we've got stuff happening, you know, current clients in mostly in North America, but we've got stuff that we're working on with some partners in Spain, actually. Somebody, big energy company that, fingers crossed, something happens with that one. We're global, baby.
Global. That was Chris Walker with eWave Solutions. He's the director of business development and alliances, talking about content integration services on today's Information Strategy Podcast. Chris, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Nick.
And thank you for tuning in to the Information Strategy Podcast, a service of the Information Coalition. You can find out more on the web at infocoalition.com. Until next time, have a great one.